We're living in a very trying time, and we need to know some things from the Word of God, holy instructions from the Word of God, to know how to deal with it, how to cope with it. If I had a title to what I feel led, if the Lord allows me to minister it today, it would be, "What in the World is Going On?" I think someone else may have preached on that or used that title, probably a lot of ministers, because it's a question that everyone surely is asking. What in the world is going on? When you think it can't get worse, it gets worse. When you think you've heard it all, you hear something else that tops what you just heard. And it's consistent. It's the birth pangs. It's the beginning of sorrows. Jesus actually said the end is not yet, but this is the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pangs. I call that a preview of the day of the Lord that is coming. So we're getting a preview of that in our culture. It's not just in America, by the way. It's a global thing that's occurring. But Christian America has had more light than many of the nations of the world. And the more light we have, the more accountable we become to God. God knows how much we know, and He knows if we're acting on that or if we're rejecting that. And it's His knowledge that He bases His judgment on. To him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. And He knows what we know and holds us accountable for the light that we have. Everybody has some light. No one is in the total dark, because He lighteth every man that comes into the world. And He gives to every person born into the world a measure of faith. So this idea of "I just can't believe" is not something God will accept as an excuse for not believing. Because a measure of faith has been given. He knows that too. That's why He's the only one that can judge accurately and judge righteously. That's why we can't cast the stones. That's above our pay grade. This is something that He has an exclusive on. But we do need to know what is going on. What in the world is going on to produce what we're seeing today? And I want to be above it enough that I can be effective for Christ like never before, because the condition of the world is plunging the world into more and more hopelessness, because there's so many things that they're helpless to address. So the message of the good news of Jesus is the only hope. It's the blessed hope of His return and before this thing implodes, and it will not. God has a plan for the earth. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for the wicked, and He's carrying out at this very moment His plan, and nothing's going to stop that. It's sequential. Once certain things begin, I call it the domino effect. It's going to continue until all is fulfilled. I believe the domino prophetically in the nations in 1948, a year after I was born, so I'm in the generation that saw Israel become a nation. When you see the fig tree put forth her leaves, speaking of the nation of Israel, the regathering of Israel. Not saying they're right in all of their decisions. They certainly are not. There's a lot of things that are happening that go all the way back to the cross. But having said all of that, Brother Doug, would you ask the blessing on the service today? I'm a pastor evangelist. There will be teachings where I get excited and preach because the teaching's so good. Not my teaching of it necessarily, but the Word of God that's telling us what it's telling us. Sometimes you just can't be nonchalant when you're reading those wonderful promises from such a powerful, blessed, wonderful person, our God and our Heavenly Father, our Savior, Sovereign, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you a little while. Oh, by the way, when I preach, I'll probably teach some too, because if I just inspire you and not instruct you, then you'll go away emotionally high, inspired. But if you're instructed, you'll take something out of here with you, and it will bless you throughout your week and throughout your life. That's why we need to be instructed in righteousness, and we need to be instructed of how to react and respond to the times that we are living in, to our generation, the things that affect us personally. And that's what we need to do this morning. I was up late last night, as I always am on a Saturday night. I'm not cramming. I'm just preparing the messenger more than the message. But the message is certainly prepared. But I believe God wants to speak to us by His Spirit and through His Word. So I had a man come to our church. He inspired everyone. He could play a piano like Jerry Lee Lewis. One guy come, we had an old upright piano, and had the legs were not tightened underneath it, and he could play like Jerry Lee Lewis, or what's the guy that did the Great Balls of Fire? I don't know. Jerry Lee Lewis. Okay, well, I got it right. Amen. I was thinking of another guy that stood up and played a piano just a lot, just like him. I'll remember him after a while. I'm lost in the 50s. Amen. But we'll come forward to the new millennium. If there would be a title, it would be What in the World is Going On? What in the world is happening? I don't have to tell you about the wars and rumors of wars. They're here. I don't have to tell you about the spirit of murder that's in people, not just something external, but something internal inside of people that is motivating them to kill, and to kill without some, even if they have a what they consider a justifiable reason. God doesn't honor that, of course. But people who are not killing because of jealousy or because they're stealing something, about to get caught, or all these other motivations, but people that kill just for the sake of killing. And as soon as they're through killing, as it happened this week, they kill themselves and seal their fate. They seal their fate. And the devil has a soul, and he has all those souls. No wonder they're either ready to meet the Lord, or they were ready to stand the judgment, or they were not ready, but they sure didn't have a chance to get ready. They were not in a nursing home praying with the chaplain. They were not in the emergency room praying with the priest. They were in a place having a good time, not aware that in the next few minutes their lives would be snuffed out. Who walks in to a schoolroom and takes the life of all those little kids that did nothing, did no harm, perfectly innocent, without rhyme or reason? Who does that? What in the world is going on? What in the world is going on when we cannot define a man or a woman? When we violate the very basic principle in creation of humankind. In the beginning, He made them male and female. And He wanted them to stay distinguished. A woman shall not wear that pertaineth to a man. And a man shall not wear that pertaineth to a woman. In other words, He made the man masculine. He made the woman feminine. I, for one, applaud Him. Can you say amen? I appreciate that very, very much. But what in the world is going on when we can't figure that out? When a guy's in a dress at Disney World selling children's clothes, he's also got a mustache, so he's not completely transgender. He's just a guy with a dress on. And what is transgender? And why can't we figure it out? And what has happened in our society? What in the world is going on? And why is it happening? And what should our response be to it? And is there any hope? Well, I want to try to leave you with hope today, but I want to give you something from the Word of God that at least for my sake, as I read it, and tells me what is going on and why it is happening, and why in particular it's happening in this generation. It is prophetic of the last times and the last days. It is a preview of what will come to its apex and climax in the midst of the great tribulation. It is the reason that Israel will make a covenant with the Antichrist. It is the reason that the world will be so beguiled by him and deceived by him. It is what is going to allow him to come into power. It is what is happening now, and it's going to escalate until the tribulation period itself. So let me read it to you. I got quite a bit of scripture to read today. If you will turn with me in the New Testament to begin with, Romans 1, beginning with verse 18. I was bivocational for 12 years. I quit that. I don't remember missing a church service. I remember running from church to get to my job. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I walked into the break room around the turn of the century when people were wondering, Rev, what's going to happen when the year 2000 comes? And everybody was asking questions because that many years ago they thought the computers may... They're having church next door, by the way. And that's okay. We just had it over here. And I can preach around it. So they asked me, they said, what do you think is going to happen? I said, nothing, biblically. It's just a bump in the road. It's not the end of the world. The Lord isn't going to return on that day. He could, but it doesn't say that he will. It's just going to be a bump in the road. The computers, they're not going to all go down and the world go into chaos because we can't play Candy Crush, amen, online. Or whatever we do, amen, Facebook or whatever. And of course nothing happened, but they kept questioning me when any big event, any fearful thing would come along. They would question me, and they would do it publicly so I could give an answer, because I couldn't just stand and preach to everybody in the break room. But ultimately, somebody in the break room would say, what does this mean? What does that mean? They asked me a question about they didn't call it the alphabet movement, the LBJQ, whatever movement. I mean, you know, you get confused. There's so many different variations within this. I told them, I said, well, we have to go to Romans 1:18. I said, it's not what do you think about it? They asked me. Because they were wondering what in the world, that many years ago, what in the world is going on. But today, it's pervasive, and it's global. And our nation, many activists in our nation are pushing other nations to follow suit. And thank God some of those nations are pushing back. But every nation is under this push. This push. What in the world is going on? So I told him, it's not what I think. And I looked at him and I said, it's not what you think. I said, it's what God says in his word. I said, now if you don't believe the Bible, then there's no point in having a discussion or a conversation. But if you believe the Bible, go home and read, beginning at Romans 1. And chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. And it will tell you God's stand. So don't go back to the Old Testament initially. Go to the New Testament. See what God says in his word. It explains so much to me. And I pray it explained a lot to them. Because people are asking the question, what in the world is going on? How did we get here? And where are we going to go from here? So when God sends the judgment of strong delusion, and people's minds are infected and affected by the influence of the enemy himself, the Bible said, you're of God, little children, and the whole world globally lies in wickedness. And that's not just the deeds that they're doing. It's the influence they're under that causes them to do those deeds. The whole world lies in wickedness. Literally translated, lies in the power and the influence of the evil one. Christ put it this way: you're of your father the devil, his works you will do. We're seeing people, psychologists are still trying to figure out, you know, that so-and-so didn't get a bike that they had their heart set on growing up, and so somehow or another it warped them and bent them and psychologically scarred them until they went out and took a gun and killed a bunch of people at random. It all came from something in their childhood that marred them and marked them. But they can't figure it out. Sociologists blame cultural things. I wasn't accepted. I wasn't loved. I didn't. And on and on. The guy that just killed so many people in Maine said he heard voices. They were not just telling him to do it. He got, as more and more information comes, he got new hearing aids. And he thought he could hear people in those two places he went talking about him, talking real mean about him, and it irritated him, and he told people about it and said that everyone in the room was dissing me and everyone in the room was talking hateful about me and talking mean about me, and it began to boil within him. What in the world is going on? I know there's mental illness, clinical mental illness, but there's something else at work here. There's a spiritual component, and that's why they can't fix it. That's why they can't figure it out. That's why they scratch their heads and say, what motivated this? And I watched interviews just, you know, out of inquisitiveness to when they interview a serial killer. Why did you do that? And they don't go where the psychologists go giving some of that stuff. They just say, I don't know. I just impulsively did it. I just murdered. I just killed. I just randomly did this. So what in the world is going on? Are you ready for some scripture? I'm going to give it to you anyway. Hallelujah. We need the word. Listen, if you see our society here, if you see the world as we know it today here, Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. This is important. Underscore it. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's how they handle the truth. It's how they handle the truth. At the bottom of all this is what we do with the light we have. At the bottom of all this is how we handle truth. Remember that. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Everybody that is born on this planet has been given a measure of faith to believe truth when they hear it. And it's how we handle that when we hear it. It's whether we react to it and respond to it through repentance and through a life that represents acknowledging God, or whether we reject it, wholesale reject it, and turn our back on it. That sets all of this up. It has to do with how we handle truth. And God is saying, they know about truth. Now, we look at them and say, well, they just don't know any better. He says, yes, they do. Man looks at the outward. God looks where? That's why he is a righteous judge. He knows, the Bible says there's nothing hid from the eyes of him whom we have to do. Amen. The word of God is a discerner of the intents of the heart. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. For God has showed it to them. He lighteth every man that comes into the world. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now this is exterior. God has put it in them, and God is allowing them to see creation itself. being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, he knew they knew, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, literally conceited in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, today, I mean, it's just astounding. They ask people, what is a woman? They can't define it because they would violate their woke attitude toward it. They've always decried the Bible because you can't scientifically prove it. And yet they defy biology. They defy DNA. They deny the chromosome chain. They deny science. They deny all of it in order to pursue an agenda that they've already bought into and believed. They'd rather believe an absolute lie than to accept even scientific. We're not even using the Bible on them. Science, biology. And where is this occurring? Colleges, professors. These are people with, you know, so many, what they call the guy had so many degrees, they called him Dr. Fahrenheit. Amen. And yet to be this foolish, how did we get here? What in the world is going on? Because that when they knew God, here's the why, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, conceited in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. These are the idols all around the world. Wherefore God also gave them up. God gave them up. He didn't give up on them. That's an important distinction. God gave them up, which meant he just turned them over to their own devices. He allowed them to go deeper into the darkness. When we close a broadcast, I often say, don't run deeper into the darkness. Don't run from Christ. Run to him. Don't run deeper into the darkness. This is what occurs when people have light, choose darkness over light, and run deeper into the darkness. It's all about how they handle truth. Once truth is brought forward, and once God knows that we know, we become responsible to him. And the judgment that he now adjudicates is to allow, he turned them over. He gave them over. He didn't give up on them, but he allowed them to pursue the darkness that they chose over light. And they keep going deeper and deeper. That's why the scripture, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Wherefore God also, verse 24, gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Here it is, truth again. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. It's how they handle truth. It keeps appearing. It keeps occurring. It's a judgment of God. I'm going to submit to you that the world right now, including America, who used to be a Christian nation, can no more be called that. Part of it is because of the compromising church. We used to hold a standard. And regardless of denominational preference, there was a time when there was a general consensus about what is sin and what is right and what is wrong. And it wasn't blurred. It was very, very clear. I don't know the man. I don't know who's a doctrinal influence he's under. He claims to be a Christian. He obviously does read the Bible. The Speaker of the House for the Republicans was asked directly, why are you anti-LBJGQ whatever? Okay, I'm not being facetious. I'm just telling you, I can't put it all in order, remember it all. There's too many crazy variations. And they asked him, why are you anti? Because if you are for what God teaches about it, you're automatically anti. And that's not a bad thing. You should be anti what God says is an abomination, because he hasn't changed his mind about it. And you know what his answer was? I loved it. I'm going to use it sometime. He said, pick up a Bible. Pick up a Bible and you'll know why I'm anti. I'm a Christian. And Christians are going to have to decide, aren't they? Christians are going to have to, if they're on the fence, they're going to have to get off the fence. In reality, there is no fence. You're for me or you're against me. You gather with me or you scatter. A man cannot serve two masters, for he will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can serve God with mammon, which means money and the material things and the prestige and the pride that it feeds. It's all under that mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. Can't serve two masters. One of them is going to master you. Jesus wants to be not just our Savior, but our Sovereign. He's not just Savior. He's not just giving free tickets to heaven to people that will not bow to His Lordship. It's not just about believing. It's about bowing. He's Lord and Savior. He's not Savior, and then we're going to bicker with Him to how much influence we're going to allow Him who died for us, who has a claim on us, who tells us clearly that we're bought with a price and we are not our own, challenges us in light of what He's done for us by the mercies of God to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or exemplify what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. That's not three different things. Well, I know I'm not in the acceptable will, but by grace I'm in the good will, not the store. Amen. I need to go to the Goodwill. Give me another coat. Left it on the doorknob. That's all right. I feel free today. Need to take it off anyway. Amen. Good. Someone preached it that way. There's the good will of God. You're really not where you need to be, but it's the good, perfect, acceptable. It's being in the will of God or out of the will of God. It's considering the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth and in us as it is in heaven. I don't believe in salvation without repentance of sin. I don't believe in salvation without the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We won't get it perfect. We will struggle with our flesh, but we won't struggle at all if we don't make Him the Lord of our life. We will just go with the flow. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. He's not sinlessly perfect, but he's been perfectly changed from the inside, working its way out. That's what it means. Work out your own salvation. Not work for, but work out. Let it be exemplified in your life, your standards, your morals, the way you respond to what you know the Scriptures teach. I struggle with my flesh. Amen. But God is in my corner. He's there to help me to overcome. I've had to pray some serious praying to not respond in kind to things that have been done to me, to not let unforgiveness, a root of bitterness, spring up and trouble me. I've had to forgive people that didn't ask for it, didn't deserve it, wishing God would get them. David said, how long, Lord, are you not going to avenge me? Break their teeth. Bust them up. This is what's going on in the world, and it's how every person handles truth. There are people come to church, they'll hear the truth, and they will walk out and not respond and react to that truth. And if it really hit them hard, they probably won't come back. And yet the only thing that can set them free from the bondage of sin and blindness and deception is truth. I walked into the break room. Someone said, didn't the Bible say? That gives me my opportunity when someone opens the door. Didn't the Bible say the truth will make you free? I said, no, it did not. No, that's not what it says. Not just any truth, but the truth that is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, through the Word of God, the inerrant, eternal Word of God. And through Christ, who is the truth, and our Heavenly Father, who is the God of truth. What it really says, and I quoted the scripture, I didn't go through all that. That would be preaching. I just said in it, what it really says. You want to really know what it says? Because the truth will make you free. Truth will make you free. John 8, 30 and 31 is where you find that. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. Not just intellectually, but experientially. Because if you respond to that truth, it's going to have an effect on you. Here's the effect it's going to have. And the truth will make you free. If you continue where? In my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Free from deception. Free from being defrauded of what is yours in Christ. Free from Satan's lies. Amen. Free from this foolish darkness that can consume the human heart. It'll make you free. It'll keep you free. Doesn't matter how dark it is. The old covenant in the book of Psalms said it's a lamp unto my feet. And it's a light unto my pathway. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What in the world is going on? To me it is very clear. Wherefore God also, verse 24, gave them up, which allowed them to continue, to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They wouldn't honor Him or His truth, so they began to dishonor themselves, their own bodies. See if this is not our culture. Who worshiped, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, back up, who changed the truth of God into a lie, how they handle truth. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another. This is not normal, natural desire. Burning in lust means it is never satisfied. People are driven to put their reputation on the line, their family on the line, to risk diseases, to have sex with a stranger. This is not about an adulterous relationship that began with flirting and then a bond was created and it led to sexual sin and promiscuousness. This is something that drives people to pull over at a rest stop and try to meet, just solicit someone by the side of the interstate. I used to go to Lettuce Lake and ride my bicycle, and I used to go and read my Bible while working on my tan, because I could get You know, I'm not really white. I'm kind of tan. You're a brown lady, and amen. I've never seen a real white person. I've seen people a lighter skin than others. I was becoming one. I went to a tanning bed one time. I couldn't go out there and sun. I couldn't sun, you know, with my shirt off in the neighborhood. We were so close to each other, and people showed up all the time. And so I went over to Lettuce Lake. They called me Casper. A preacher friend of mine came to the tanning bed. He had a big church in Brandon. He had to work on his tan. He was getting pretty white too. Amen. And he, when you know the newbies that come in for tanning beds, they're terrible. You pay later, not the price, but for what they do to your skin. And anyway, they call us Caspers because we're a newbie in the tanning bed. You're white as a ghost. Why are you saying all of that? Because here we are as Christians in this generation. And you know what's going to happen? Since the Bible is the reason that someone who espouses it is anti-something that is right now being pushed in the culture, the Bible itself is going to come under fire. Watch it evolve. They don't like the Bible because they don't like what is taught in it. Because what is taught in it is truth. And Christians, we're not impervious to deception and lies. We're not impervious. Without the Word of God, we can't even check out celestial beings that appear as angels of light. If we don't know the gospel, we won't know when we're hearing something other than the gospel. And the only way we will know this truth is in the Word of the living God. Holy Spirit is not just a giver and granter of power for service. Pentecostals got hung up on the power part of that. And some of the most gullible people I have ever met, and I say this with a shamed face, have been in the Pentecostal charismatic movement. They have fallen for more error than any Baptist, any Nazarene. I mean, there's error out there, don't get me wrong. But people don't support it tooth and toenail and check and credit card like the Pentecostal people have done. And I'm going to tell you why, because I'm Pentecostal, and I grew up in Pentecost, and I went to Pentecostal churches, because a Bible study wasn't a big deal. That preacher better preach. He better be animated, so I'm entertained, and I'm fixated on him and being inspired by watching him get excited. Jesus would have been unwelcome if he did what he did. In the scripture when he gave the Beatitudes. You know why? Do you know why he would have been unwelcome in the average Pentecostal church years ago? You know how he taught? He was ranting, he was raving, he built up a head of steam and walked around declaring the Word of God. No, that's what I do sometimes. But it's just because I'm excited. And I just can't hide it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. But listen. He sat down. He sat down? I'm out of here. Come on, there's a preacher across town. He ain't sitting down. That man preaching, man. Come on, this guy ain't preaching. He sat down and taught them there. I believe he walked among them. Because there was no PA system and there was hundreds of them. And they were so mesmerized by what he was teaching them that they sat without water. They sat evidently without food for 3 days. You think my sermons are long? Can you say amen? Because they were hungry. They had a desire. They needed to hear the Word of God. They needed to hear instructions. We need to know these things and we want to know them. And we're not leaving here as long as He is divulging these great truths unto us that we are in desperation for. From Malachi to Matthew, there is a gap, because they had rejected truth and God quit talking. God quit talking to the prophets. First one back on the scene from after Malachi was John the Baptist, who came out of the woods. And boy, he got their attention. He wasn't wearing an Armani. He didn't arrive in a tricked out camel. Bear with me. Can you say amen? Amen. No, he walked in to town. How did he get their attention? Oh, by the way, he wasn't eating prime rib every day either. He was eating locust and wild honey out there as God called him, appointed him, and anointed him. He didn't look the part to be a great prophet, but he was in the category of a prophet when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. And when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. When he comes, this is going to occur. But from Malachi to John the Baptist, and there was no evidence of the presence of God except in one place to prove God had not pulled out completely. That was the Pool of Bethesda. At the Pool of Bethesda, people are, you know, they question this, that, and the other, but it is in holy canon, holy writ. At the Pool of Bethesda, I don't doubt it. Because God did not pull out completely. He was still working toward what was about to occur when Jesus came to die for us on the cross. And what that set in motion. Once a year, the supernatural power of God showed up on that there was a dead religious system that was thriving. But there's no presence and no manifestation of God and no power of God to help anybody. But man had a system. They were basing it on a lot of Old Testament covenants and truth. But there was no presence of God. But in that pool, once a year, God showed up and troubled the waters. And when those placid waters became boisterous, whoever got in it first, regardless of their condition, got healed. Jesus came to a man that had been coming for evidently years. He couldn't beat anybody to the water because of his condition. And he stood right before him and said, "Would you be healed? Would you be healed? Would you be healed?" And I got a whole bunch of messages on why the prayer of faith can be prayed, the elders can be called, and still no manifestation of healing. There's a lot of reasons for that. And you can't just, well, anyway, don't even get off on that sidetrack. Let's stay focused. The Holy Spirit gives more than a liver shiver on Sunday morning. He gives more. He gives that. The experiences and manifests the presence of God. He does more. Than just give gifts of the Spirit, the charismata, as we would call them, for ministry, power gifts for the work of ministry. He is the Spirit of truth. And when he, and this is what a lot of Pentecostals didn't see him as or accept him as, because when it came time for Bible study, I had pastors' adult Bible study at the Holy Church of God. If we had 8 people, we were doing well. No one was interested in allowing the Spirit of truth to guide us in the Word of God, which is truth, and to point us to Jesus, who is truth. But they were certainly interested, not in the Word of the Lord, but when there was a line to pray for the sick, to get a touch from God, there was always a long line for that. And people came to church for that. They didn't desire the sincere milk of the Word that they might grow. They desired what I call, well, it had to be a lot of, it was entertaining to them. Remember Ezekiel? He thought he was having a revival. So many came out because evidently he prophesied under a strong and heavy anointing. And it really burst his bubble when God told him the truth. Because God didn't look at how many people showed up to hear it, but how they reacted to it. How they handled truth. How they reacted to truth. You can't play with this. There's a lot of things that it's not that important. This is vital to victory. And this will either bring the blessing of God into your life, or it will allow the judgment of God. It's allowed the judgment of God in this nation. What we're seeing right now, it says we're reading it right in the Word of God. We're hearing the truth. This is what in the world is going on. But it should never go on in the life of a born-again believer. It should never go on in the church of the living God. Can you say amen? And if it's the true church and a true believer, it won't go on. Because this heart that is prone to go deeper into the darkness, who has a propensity for it, has been changed. For if any man be in Christ, he doesn't have that same old heart. He doesn't have that same old propensity. He has the flesh nature, yes, but the heart has been changed. And he wants truth, and he wants to obey truth. I demand truth. If I had a lump in my throat or some kind of bad headaches, and they do a CT scan and they find a tumor, and it's operable if they catch it in time before the roots get down to where it's inoperable, I don't want the doctor. I don't want him, the oncologist. I don't want him to tell me what I want to hear. I want him to tell me the truth. If I need surgery, I want to get it. Amen? How about you? I want truth. That's just in my physical part of me. Tell me the truth. Don't say take two aspirins and call me next week. I'll schedule you in 6 months and see how you're doing. No, if this needs immediate attention, I want the immediate detention. Detention. I'm looking at a school teacher. It just spirit of school teaching came over me. I want to be told the truth. If I go to church, don't. You, if someone starts circumventing an issue that is critical to salvation, is critical to victory, whether or not I got God's blessing or His judgment on my life, I want Him to tell me the truth. If I don't ever come back, I will come back if He tells me the truth and I have the opportunity. I will not come back if He plays games with me. I want to hear it. And I want to heed it because I'm serious about my walk with God. I've come too far to play games with this thing. How we handle truth is important. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, which is the Holy Spirit, He will what? He will guide you and me into all truth. He will do it by His Spirit. He will do it through the Word of God. He will do it through ministers. How shall they believe upon Him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall He go except He be sent? And we pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send laborers. Not that people will make ministry their vocation, but they will be called, appointed, and anointed of God. And I'm going to tell you, if you're called and appointed of God and anointed of God, you're going to tell the truth, no matter what the cost. And there is a cost to telling the truth. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. I don't want to stand before God, before Christ, with some false sense of security, some placebo on Sunday morning. I don't want to think I'm saved and stand before Christ and try to call Him Lord Because no man, he said, no man, without exception, can call me Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's got to be confronted with his sin, convicted of his sin. He's got to come to Christ without bickering and trying to bargain with him. He comes in full surrender. I love what one preacher said, the communion table is not where we come to bargain with God. It's not where we bargain with him. It's where we come to bow before him in full surrender. Dear friend of mine, we've got churches today, and I hate to say it, but most of them have a Pentecostal background that are teaching teachings that are absolutely unscriptural, unbiblical. And we have tens of thousands of Christians, so-called, that don't have enough truth to check anything out, but they're so engaged with the personality of the preacher that they don't even bother going to the Word of God. I meet with pastors, have been for over 10 years now. Three in particular. I'm the fourth. But I have talked to up to 60 ministers. I'm finding out things about preachers that I didn't, and wish maybe I didn't know. And I'm not talking about secret sins. I'm talking about using Bibles to preach and teach on Sunday morning, but not adhering to the scriptures that are written in the Word. And if they're already made up their mind about this, it doesn't matter about that. You understand what I'm saying? If my mind is made up about this particular thing within my denominational structure or my particular preaching culture, it doesn't matter what that says. That's why when they ask me, how do you feel about this? I said, it doesn't matter. But I am going to tell you, my feelings are lining up with what God said because I honor him and I serve him. I said, what? Jesus put it this way. I like to give people the word and let them either reject it, but this is serious stuff, how we handle truth. This is all about truth, isn't it? The fix we're in culturally right now is because truth has been brought, and God said they knew it and they're without excuse. So I'm going to let them go. I'm going to let this thing play out. You want darkness over light? Go into that darkness. How will it manifest? What we're seeing in the homosexual movement, the trans movement today. It's playing out in the culture. Are we under a judgment? Yes, we are. If he gave them over to this, and it's how it is manifesting, we're under the judgment of God. Not the final judgment. But this nation is under a judgment today. And to pray that God bless it without a revival and repentance is a prayer that God cannot and will not answer. And the hope and the answer lies within the church and the true Christian community. If my people, which are called by my name, there's hope. But it starts with a revival. It doesn't start with just God, by grace, overlooking this that he has already pronounced judgment on. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, just have a prayer meeting and ask God to bless everything and change everything. No, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. There's hope, but the hope is that God's people can qualify to intercede effectively. Because the darkness that these folks are in is so dark, the deception is so deep, without divine intervention, there is no turning from it. Politics will not change the culture. Politicians and lawmakers can hold off judgment for a while, even getting worse on America. But they can't change what God has pronounced. Who can? Christ. Christ can. He will. He is still reaching out. Whosoever will. Wouldn't close the book of Revelation without a whosoever will. There's the free will of man. It's right there. Whosoever will, let him come. You're not predestined to heaven or hell without a decision. Amen. God, it's not his will. It's not his will. It's not his will that any perish, but that all get free tickets to heaven. No, that all come to repentance so they can be saved. Come to repentance. Come to repentance. Come to repentance. It's not his will that anyone go to hell, but a lot of people are going there in spite of it. Can you say, man, you're in a church where you're going to hear the truth, but you're going to be accountable for it when you walk out of here. The more you know, you say, well, I ain't coming back. I don't want to be accountable. Too late. I'm sorry. It's too late. You've come to too many services. Amen. You know too much. Well, why do kids get whippings? I know they don't anymore, precious little things. Amen. I've heard many a mother, my own, my daddy. Everybody whooped me. My daddy, my mama, my grandmother. Everybody got a piece of me. And you're laughing about it. There's a PK, precious black lady. She's so sweet. She's about 40 years old, maybe 38. I better be careful here. She's a big gal. She's sweet as she can be. And she always talks to me when I go to the bank. She's teller at the bank. And every time that there's anything going on between her and another person in the bank, they're just kidding with each other. I said, listen, you want to straighten her out? Because her mama is a preacher lady, and she's a big lady. And I told her, I said, you want to straighten her out? I said, because I saw her mama come in a few times in the bank, talk to her about something important, go out. I said, you just tell her mama. And she went like this. She said, oh, no, don't tell my mama. Amen. Mama, take care of business. Listen, I've heard many mothers say this. While disciplining a child, you know better. The reason the discipline was not just looked over is because the mama knew that the child knew better, could do better, but chose to rebel anyway. God's justice gets real close in that area. I seen that. Amen. Listen, when you know better, when I know better, I'm highly accountable for how I handled that truth that I know. I can't just go violating it as if grace will cover that. Grace is not meant to cover up for our rebellious hearts and our rebellious lives. There are churches that give you that free ticket. Don't accept it. Make sure that you know the Master. Because calling him Lord won't cut it if he doesn't recognize you as his. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, this inscription on its foundation, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He said, my sheep, those that truly belong to him, that have been born again, regeneration of the Holy Spirit, they know my voice. That's why they heed the word. Because this word is living word. There's no difference in Christ speaking audibly and speaking through the Scripture, or God speaking audibly or God speaking through the Scripture. There's no difference. How you handle Scripture is how you're reacting to God. How you handle the Scripture. It's not about me and you and whether you're going to do what Brother Venable says or teaches. It's what the Scriptures say. Jesus said, what saith the Scriptures? Amen. So this rejection of truth, this wholesale rejection of truth, God gave them over. He didn't give up on them, but he allowed them to allow sin, the rejection of light and truth, to run its full course. And it manifests in the blurring, when you can't define scientific, not even biblically, leave the Bible on the shelf for a minute. You can't biologically define a woman or a man in this movement. Because you couldn't be trans then. You would have to acknowledge your gender. Acknowledge God, who created us male and female and made a perfect distinction. And said, don't blur it. Because of that, the man shall not wear, I'm sorry, you're going to hang that dress right back up in the closet. Glad people can't see this, aren't you? It's not being televised. And I'm sorry. Well, you can, you know, it's easier for the lady to, because of pantsuits or whatever, that, you know, they used to get that thing going, and you can be feminine. What he's saying is the masculine must remain masculine and the feminine must remain feminine. When we're in a culture where we can't figure that out, not biblically aside, biologically, the chromosomes are different. Biologically, scientifically, put that before people. Truth before them. And what do? They circumvent truth to pursue their blinded lifestyles. And they can't figure it out. They can't figure it out while they're growing up. I got to find out what I am. And parents, they won't even, you know, they used to have parties where you either the pink or the blue. Now, I'm not going to assign a gender to my child. You know, you go to buy a puppy. I was in a puppy place just to look at them because I like them. My wife was shopping. There's a puppy place beside this place in Lakeland. I was looking at a lot of puppies. I said, man, that's the cutest puppy I ever seen. Till I asked how much it was. It was $2,500. I said, boy, that dog is ugly. I wouldn't have that dog if they gave it to me. $2,500? And you know what? They can determine. Isn't that amazing? They can figure it out. They hold the puppy up. They don't need to send off for a DNA test. Amen. They hold it up by his front paws and say, that's a female. What? You figured it out? The whole country can't figure it out. That's pretty obvious. And then you add the DNA to that and the biology to that and the chromosomes to that, and you'd think truth would prevail. But when truth doesn't prevail, they're foolish, professing themselves, because these are when I say professing, I'm talking about teachers in colleges and students in college that are going with it, following what's trending instead of what is true. You can't, and even in gospel churches that at one time stood and defended truth, if John Wesley knew what was happening to the Methodist Church, he would storm. I believe he would do what that Old Testament prophet did. He tore their clothes and slapped them around. He did. That's in the Bible. He got medieval on their hiney. But today you can't even say anything because you're divisive and you're not inclusive and you're not showing brotherly love. Amen. And if you do, people go for the entertainment. Give me a praise team that really holds my attention, that really makes me feel good on Sunday morning, makes me want to clap my hands. I'm going to come out of there and do my thing like I always do, because I'm feeling good about me, and I'm feeling I had a good time at church, and now I'm going to have a good time in the world. No, you're not. You'll be out there seeking that good time, but you won't find His peace nor His power out there anywhere. The world don't have it to give. You can't buy it. But if you bow to the Lordship of Jesus, you will have the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you into all truth. And if you continue in the Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, and the truth will keep you free. And you will not be deceived like so many are. What in the world is going on? This is what's going on. Everybody say how we handle truth. I'm going to back up to verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served creature more than creator. Who's the gal going with the football player? It's all over the headlines. What's her name? Taylor Smith. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? That the world is on the precipice of World War III. Where's Taylor Smith and what is she doing today? Whoa, I thought the Kardashians were aliens from outer space. I thought that, when I heard the word Kardashian, I thought of some kind of alien green thing with a bunch of tentacles. Who are these people? When people worship creature more than creator, God doesn't sit back and say, go ahead. No, He does say, go ahead. That's the judgment. That's the judgment. Go ahead. Go ahead. He told them when they worshiped idols, He talked about they made their own gods. They wouldn't honor the true God. They made their own gods and bowed to them. And He said, go ahead and bow to them. Go ahead and bow to them. But in the day of trouble, call on them, don't call on me. I won't share the glory, my glory, with man-made gods. No, the God who made man will not share His glory with man-made gods. Stand now with thy stargazer. Are you Pluto? Are you Sagittarius? Are you... I almost said it. It's okay, I'm going to hold it in. Are you Pluto? Get up in the morning and decide, what am I, Aquarius? What is my destiny and fortune? Stand with your stargazers and your monthly prognosticators, your people who are telling you what to expect and what's going to happen in your life. Stand with them. But when trouble comes, see if they can deliver you, because I'm not going to do it. You can't serve two masters. You can't mix the occult. You can't mix it with the true faith. It's oil and water. It'll never, ever mix. This Eastern mysticism creeping in to the Church of the Living God. And it's in here today. There's a type of meditation. There's a league of prophets. And oh, the prophets, false prophets. They prophesy, it fails, and people still follow them. They prophesied Trump would win. He didn't. Well, he did, but they didn't acknowledge it. Oh, poor God, he couldn't pull it off. He willed it. He showed the prophets it was going to happen, but the Democrats beat him. Oh, my Lord, the God of heaven and earth has been defeated by the Democrats. It's foolish. How can we not call people to task on that? How can we just let it go and keep listening? Well, he willed it, but the devil circumvented. No, he didn't. The devil is subject to him. God is in control. He's Lord. Well, he got hornswoggled. He may have. But if God willed him to be president, they can't hornswoggle him. Because if the devil can defeat God's purpose, then you better find another way to heaven. Because you ain't going, the devil's going to see to it. Come on, somebody give me an amen this morning. You better hunt another way to heaven because God is not in control. God is not sovereign. God is not the God of heaven and earth. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is sovereign. He is control, and the devil can't defeat him. Somebody give God praise in this room. I'm almost done. Hallelujah. What in the world is going on? God says, this is what you want. This is what you get. We want a king. We want a king. You got a king. God is your king. Ah, but we're not like all the other nations. They have a king. He got a robe. He sit on a throne. We want a king like that. You really want a king? I'm your king, but that's insufficient for you. You want a king? There's a king down in Babylon who'll be glad to have you, his subjects. Amen. And you're headed there. You're headed there. You're headed there. They got a king. Nebuchadnezzar can be your king. Amen. Listen to me. You want it? You don't want me? You want that? You can have that. You know what America got? They got what they wanted. But we didn't want what we got. Little kid, as we close, precocious little child. Most of them are sweet as honey, but this one was precocious. And this little child wanted, a honeybee came in, or a bumblebee, a wasp, a bee came in through an open window on a spring day. And the housekeeper, which was also a what they call them, in French, they take care of the kids, an au pair. You know what that means? Au pair, another pair of hands to take care of things. You get someone to come in, take care of the kids, take care of the house while you're out shopping, and they're doing the vacuuming and taking care of the precocious child. And the child is spoiled rotten. It's possible to spoil a child. Evidently, my family read the Bible before I got spoiled. About the chastening part. Anyway, the child wanted to play with everything they're not supposed to have. Don't touch that. You're not supposed to do that. Don't touch that. You're not supposed to. And the child is really upset because I can't have everything I want. And the child is now chasing a wasp that flew in through the window. And says, quit that. You know, don't touch that. That'll hurt you. That'll sting you. But the child gets everything the child wants. And finally, because the au pair didn't want to be au pair anymore, she finally says, go ahead, honey. If you really want it, because the au pair can't dispense discipline, and the mama won't, and the daddy can't because he's off somewhere. So child gets what the child wants. Go ahead, honey. Wasp lights. Child, she's told her 50 times, don't touch that. It'll sting you. The child, I want it. I does it. Go ahead, honey. She grabbed the wasp. Ah! Don't ever grab a wasp. No matter how bad you want it. And the child got a lesson that day. There's a reason for someone saying no. And it's a good reason. There's a reason God says no. And it's to keep us from the influence of the evil one. It's to keep us from the deception of our own flesh. It's to keep us in a place of safety and security. But when truth is rejected, this is what happens in our culture. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Listen to the list. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, he knows what they know, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Now, in closing, I want to put this into last day, our day, prophecy. You heard what they would become and why they would become that. And it would begin the progression that it will climax in the tribulation in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self. You heard the list I read. You want to hear it repeated in the last day prophetic context. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, this will creep into those who say they are worshipers of the true God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. This is not the Pentecostal people as opposed to the dead letter nominal people. No, this power it's talking about is the power to make a difference in the life when you are a Christian. It's called spiritual regeneration. Amen. By the Holy Spirit. It's what it means to be born again. You were born into sin, but thank God you can be born again. Can you say amen? And when you're born again, you're a new creation. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Now, before the women get all the flack, you know, if it's just silly women, we could lay it on the women, the woman you gave me. No, there's a lot of silly men out there being deceived. There's silly men in pulpits, silly women in pulpits, people in pulpits that couldn't biblically qualify to be an usher. Certainly not a deacon filled with the Holy Ghost of good report. Husband of one male? I had a preacher telling me about, but she's so anointed. I thought you want to violate the word of God because someone is anointed? Let them teach. I'm not talking about teaching, sharing. I'm talking about usurping authority, violating God's plan. It's not in the Bible. There's no scripture for it. There is scripture against it. Where are you going to stand? Oh, but there's so many people are being blessed. You just get exasperated. You say you got a Bible, and you won't go by it. Because if you go by it, you're going to have to change your mind about some things. Change your attitude. It may cost you. Group you're running with. I'm an oddball. I'm a Pentecostal, but I'm a Bible teacher. I'm a Pentecostal that preaches under the anointing, but I'm a believer in the inerrant, eternal word of the living God. Can you say amen? And I'm an odd guy out. if I go full-blown Pentecostal, I'm going to have to lay down some stuff that I know in the Word. If I go full-blown nominal Christian, I'm going to have to deny the power and presence of God and anointing through the Holy Spirit. Jesus had it all, but he sat down and taught them. That's what I was doing when you came back. My legs did not give out. Hallelujah. I was illustrating that the average Pentecostal wouldn't sit through a sermon, and they sat mesmerized for 3 days. And they said, send them back to their homes and towns. Said, Master, if we do that, they're going to faint on the way back. We got to feed them somehow. They sat here 3 days in the sun without any food. They ain't going to make it back. People are going to, blood sugar going to drop. They're going to get swimmy headed. They're going to get sunstroke. They're going to fall out, and God works a miracle. Listen, you put the Word of God where it needs to be. He honored His Word above His name, because His name ain't no good if He don't keep His Word. Can you say amen? He's exalted His Word above His name. We need to put it in the place God has put it. It's how they handled truth. Listen, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, men included, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's all about truth, isn't it? Now as Jannes, and I'll explain that in another message, and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these people also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, here's the men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That means without any good sense. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs was. If you reject truth, you don't just close a door. When you reject truth simultaneously, you open the door to the father of lies. When you reject light, you don't just close the door on the light. You open the door to the darkness. And when people try to do that, they come into a form, a semblance of godliness. I dress up, primp up, go to church, entertained by the prayer. I like that music over there. Boy, you need to come and hear them. Boy, they're good. That praise leader gets out there, he cuts a shot. Oh, that's wonderful. That's just one. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. As I recall, I cut a shine last time we were in service. I don't know what I did. Don't want to see it. I'd be too self-conscious to ever do it again. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and I had to dance. David danced. Preacher dances. Hallelujah. But what happens when the man or person walks to the pulpit, opens the inerrant eternal Word of God? What did you get? And what are you going to do with it? Did you get it, number one? Did you get truth? And if you did, are you going to do anything different in your life because the truth has been put before you? Is it life-changing? Should it be? It better be. Because all of this that we're seeing is all about how they handled truth about God and from God when they heard it. Jesus said, what's going to happen here? O Jerusalem, thou that killed the prophets, they told you the truth, you didn't listen. Thou that stone them that are sent unto you, if you had just given heed to the truth they brought you, you wouldn't be in the fix you're in today. You wouldn't be in the fix that happened when Rome came in and began what is extended all the way to now. If you had listened, if you had given heed, I would have taken you under my wings, protected you from it all, kept my covenant. You wouldn't let me. It's how they responded to truth. So is there any hope? Yes, there is. But it's going to take a revival in the church, the true church. And it's going to take personal revival in people that other people are going to see. Something other than just kind of putting up with it all and going with the flow. God wants to move in the lives of His people. I'm fearful for the people. Not just the people in the darkness, there's still hope for them. If you don't think there's hope for him, it's going to come to the climax during the tribulation, and 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to take the gospel to a sin-darkened world, darker and more deceived than it's ever been. The beginning is now, the beginning of sorrow. They're going to evangelize, so people are going to be saved. They're not already. God didn't give up on them. He just let them go. And it ran its full course even into the tribulation period. But there's still hope, and there's still hope today. But somebody's going to have to hold the banner of truth high to see people in that thick darkness to recognize something. I've got a whole crowd of people just like me, compromising, making concessions to the devil, living a double life. But the coming of the Lord is soon. And I want to be ready to stand before Him. And I want Him to acknowledge me. I want to make sure that He acknowledges me. Not because of my works, but what I did with truth. Can you say amen? Not saved by works, by grace. But you have to respond to truth. So today I'm standing here in my twilight years. I'm up in years. Trying to still tell the truth. Every time I preach the gospel, my discouragements are that so many Christians devalue it and place little or no value on it. And so many are following false teachers, false prophets, and affiliating. You know what it said about all that? From such, turn away. From such, turn away. Birds of a feather, they do. They flock together. I want to be a true follower of Jesus. And there are people that I can't walk with. It's not because I don't love them, appreciate them. It's because two can't walk together except they agree. Amen? And you can see, it's not just because I'm old and our worship is outdated. No, it's because truth is going to come forth in this place through this preacher. And if you don't espouse truth, don't care about it, this is the last place you want to be on Sunday morning, because you're going to hear it. And if there's sin here and compromise, the Holy Spirit will change the message, or He will work into the message something that will that nobody's going to put a spotlight in someone. I'm not going to call anybody out. I'm not going to point my finger at anyone. Hand in my pocket. But if you love the Lord, the God of truth, you love the truth. If you love truth, you'll love the Bible. You'll love the Holy Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth. He will guide you and He will keep you. And I still believe that there's hope for America and the world, but it's going to take a mighty spiritual awakening among Christians who are going to get a different attitude. I got to finish. It's almost one. I've taken a long time, but we only meet once a week. There's a lot to be done, a lot to be said. Jeremiah told them the truth. You're not going to prosper. They don't want to hear that from a prophet. They want to hear prosperity. You're not going to prosper without repentance. God is not going to bless you. Oh, but we got a covenant with Abraham. Yeah, but you're breaking so much of it, he can't keep it with you. He wants to, but you're going to have to repent. No one listened to him. You know what they did? They categorized him as unpatriotic. They categorized him as not being loving and telling them all that God was going to give them. In other words, lie to them. Tell us what we want to hear. Last day sign. They will heap to themselves teachers. Some shall depart from the faith, doing what? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Literally, listening to something the devil is trying to dress up as truth. Give me teachers. They'll say, give us teachers with itching ears. Not the teachers having ears that itch. But people saying, tell me what I want to hear. I'll show up in your church. I'll give in your offering. I'll contribute to your building fund. I'll make sure that you have a salary where you can drive a Bentley if you want it. Just tell me on Sunday morning what I want to hear. And entertain me in the worship part of the service. I love our worship right here. I love to worship God. I don't want to go to a dead, old, dry, drug-out service. I want to worship the true and living God. But I don't go to have a show put on. I want someone to challenge me, to involve me. I don't want to just watch the praise team. I want to bow before my King and bless the name of the Lord. How about you today? I want to commend you for coming back. You know why I commend you for coming back? Because you're unique. Look at somebody and say, we're unique. You are. These people say, you're unique, I'm telling you. We had a building we were going to rent in Plant City, and I said, it may be too far for people to drive. I want to put it before you. This is over a year ago, and I said, so I'll understand if it's too far to drive and you can't come. And you know what they said? You ain't going to get rid of us that easy. I thought, oh, Lord, no, I'm not trying to get rid of you. I'm so glad. Lord, have mercy. Sugar, sugar. Sugar, sugar, honey, honey. God bless you for coming. Why are you here? Oh, she drug you? No. You're here because of truth. You came sometimes without her. Amen. But when you were in the hospital and the doctors couldn't figure it out, you wanted somebody to pray that you believed was walking with God, talking with God, that God would listen to, because we're not violating His word. And we prayed together. And God touched you and God brought you out. They didn't do it. They couldn't figure it out. But God did it, and there you are sitting here today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? We paid for this. We're going to get our money's worth. Hallelujah. Let's give Him some praise before we go home. Will you stretch your hand this way, and would you honestly pray, Lord, keep him and don't let him change. I don't want to change. Don't let him be discouraged. Don't let him just say, well, I might have wished to retire. No one is listening. Someone is listening, or God wouldn't give this anointing and God wouldn't give this message. Someone is listening. Somewhere, somebody's going to come out of that darkness, because the light of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ is going to shine into that deep darkness. The Word of God has penetrating power. The Word of God has penetrating power. And the name of Jesus holds authority. And I came here in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of the Holy Church of God, Inc. I didn't come here in the name of Robert A. Venable. I came here in the name of Jesus Christ today. Praise God. And he said, when you gather in my name, there am I in the midst of you. Praise God in the name of Jesus as we close.